Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we're going to consider is the Psalm 66. We'll be talking about the whole psalm. It's the psalm for this coming Sunday. And I'm going to just read you these verses 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. This is our text. So on Sunday, we heard the Lord telling us that he's going to prepare a place for us, that he intends to make sure that we will be with him for eternity. He tells his disciples that he's going to leave them. They will not see him, and they will not be able to follow him right at that time. And it bothers them. It bothered Peter, and it bothered the other disciples. And Jesus, you remember, said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me." But then he goes on and he explains to them that he's going home. He's going to prepare a place for them. And then he's going to come back and gather us together. He tells us that he will come and call us home. And of course, that begins to calm the disciples down, although they don't understand what this is going to be like. You remember the discussion that he had about, you know the way and you know where I'm going. And Thomas didn't understand it. Philip didn't understand. And of course, these are things that speak of a mystery. We talked about that. Jesus also told them that they would have to wait until all is ready. Until all have heard his voice and are ready to follow and are prepared to be presented to the Father. The bride presented to her father at the wedding feast of the Lamb. We heard all of this, and our troubled hearts find comfort and strength to endure and wait. And then if you remember at the end, he's been telling his disciples over and over again to listen to his words. Don't look for miracles or for signs. Those will come as needed. But the main place that they will find him is where his word is preached and his sacraments rightly administered. He tells us to listen to his words. And then this weekend, we hear that he will send us his Holy Spirit, another comforter, he says, who will remind us of these words and promises, who will teach us all things. And those are all really important. It's important to keep that in mind. It's important to remember as we go through all of this. But then remember last Sunday, how he ended the sermon, or he ended that section of John. He told us in the midst of walking, bearing our crosses, listening to his word, going to his sacraments, that while we were listening, he too would not stop listening to us. That's what the psalmist in Psalm 66 so beautifully tells us tonight, especially in verse 16. He says, but certainly the Lord has heard me. And of course, if the Lord has heard me, he will answer. He will continue to care for me. And when I'm overwhelmed, he will not only take care of the circumstances as needed, but he will take care of my heart and my mind and give me strength and encouragement. The psalmist in the psalm, Psalm 66, makes clear that this world is a difficult place. Neither God nor his witnesses ever minimize the difficulty of living in the world. Jesus makes it clear when he told his disciples, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The psalmist says basically the same thing in the psalm. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the net. You have laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. He told the disciples that would happen. There would be no question. There would be difficulties. And we've already seen it with Stephen's martyrdom when he was stoned just for helping widows. Oh, and he did bear witness, and that's really what got him in trouble. But as you see, the disciples, Peter and John, had already been in prison by that time in Acts. There's no question we'll face difficulties, and today we face them. There's a lot of fear today about maybe the government will get in the way permanently of worshiping in the church and so on. And I think it's good to remember and to know a bit of the history of the church, that nothing can separate us from his love, and that there are peoples who have lived in very difficult times, and still the Lord ministered to them. The psalmist tells us that God is testing us, and that makes sense. Peter has already told us that. Where we face struggles and the word of the Lord stands near to us, the Lord is testing us. He helps us to learn and to see where our weaknesses are. He tests us like silver or gold. The dross comes to the surface, and we have to confess that we aren't what we thought we were. Peter had to do that. At the end of John 13, remember, he said, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, you're not. He said, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, you'll lay down my life? No, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. And the disciples and those who follow the disciples are warned over and over again that this is going to be a difficult trek. This is going to be a difficult path. So the psalmist makes clear that while living in the world, the Lord is present. He says, but you have brought us out to rich fulfillment. What a lovely text. In the middle of all of this, you've tested us, you've tried us, but you have brought us out to rich fulfillment. That's the call that we have, to trust him, to trust his promises, his word, just like we said Sunday. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe my promises. Trust what I have told you. The psalmist, the early part of the psalm, reminds us that God was with the people of Israel as they were out in the desert making their way, coming up to the edge of the sea, the Red Sea. The psalmist reminds the people, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice with him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. And then the psalmist says, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. That seems to be a problem today, isn't it? Especially in this age in which people are so proud and so sure of themselves and so confident, and they want to tell you that they're all that. The psalmist says, I really don't want to hear that. I know what I am. I don't need somebody boasting in my face. But then the psalmist goes on and sings and encourages the church to sing about the Lord's care. To sing, that's what the church did. The psalms, their prayers and their songs. Sing, you people who are walking in the midst of this, he says. Oh, bless your God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow your feet to be moved. It's a lovely thing for you to remember. We sing his praise, and in singing his praise, we're talking and we're singing to ourselves. It's coming into our ears and the ears of our neighbors what God is doing, his great love, his mercy, his kindness, who keeps our soul among the living. You see, you and I can't keep ourselves alive spiritually. We are so dependent on that word, on the sacraments. He keeps our soul among the living. What a statement. It's amazing for us. And he does not allow our feet to be moved. We talked before about the rock, this living stone on which the whole temple is built, the foundation, the cornerstone. He will not allow our feet to be moved because our hearts and our minds are set on Christ. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, where our feet are set and rooted and founded in the mercy, the kindness, the grace, and the love of God in Christ Jesus. He went to the cross and died in our place. He has secured our place before the Father. He washed us in his blood. And that's what the psalmist makes clear, and that in the midst of this, the heart and mind of the saint is fixed on the grace and mercy of God. That's why I can sing. That's why I can rest, because of the grace and mercy of God. Listen to what the psalmist states just before the verse that I used for the theme. "I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats." The psalmist runs back to the means of grace, where forgiveness, mercy, and peace are celebrated. God gave the sacrifice. God gave the animals. And so I will go and I will burn. I will sacrifice them. I will look forward to the coming of your Christ. For this was 1,000 years before, most likely. This psalm was written before the Christ came. And yet the saints of old fixed their hearts and their minds on the coming of the Lamb of God, the one through whom all of the sins of the world would be paid for, not by the blood of bulls and goats would sins be paid for, but the blood of this one, once and for all. And so also today the saints run to the word, the means. In particular, they run to the supper, where Christ comes to us and forgives us and strengthens us with the body and blood that he gave for us once and for all on the cross. We confess, as we said on Maundy Thursday, that is my sacrifice. It was given for me. Finally, the psalmist rejoices that the Lord hears. He starts that section out by saying, "If I had regarded iniquity in my heart, you would not hear." That is, if I refuse to repent. That is, if my sin and the benefits of sin are more important than the riches which God gives me in and through Jesus Christ, I will not be heard. That's hard for us to hear today. We live in a world in which everybody believes that if you're in trouble, you can just cry out to God and he will hear you, even if you're living in impenitent sin. Prayer isn't a means of grace. Prayer is the response of a child of God. It's not a work we do. It's not a work we do to grab onto and tug on God's heart. The psalmist, or Isaiah, says the same thing in Isaiah 59. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." You see, he hears us because we trust and believe his promises. That's not a work we do, it's a gift we're given, faith. And faith can't live in a heart that refuses to repent, that regards iniquity. It means that I'm pondering it and I'm enjoying it. And it's something that it's a part of my life to regard iniquity in my heart, to say, I don't want to lose that. I don't want it to go up on the cross. I don't want it to see it stop. And so the psalmist is reminding us that as we come to God, we come and we let loose of all of our sins. And we find a Savior who took every one of those sins to the cross so that we would have God's ear throughout our entire life. And not just here, but into eternity. The psalmist and all the saints live in daily repentance, and so they are most certainly heard. That is a beautiful text, but certainly the Lord has heard me. Certainly. I know he has. Why? Because of Christ, in Christ, through Christ. We say all those things at the end of prayers, because that's why I know I am heard. That's why I know that God listens and he will answer. The psalmist rejoices, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy for me. You see, I'm still a sinner, but I don't regard my iniquity. I don't treasure it and keep it and refuse to give it up. I count everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Christ is my all in all, the psalmist says. God continues to listen to me and will continue to be merciful to me. Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 reminds us of that. He says, "This I recall to my mind while he looked at a decimated Jerusalem, as he walked through the ruins that he had been prophesying year after year, telling the people of Israel to turn, to repent before they are wiped out. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So this evening we rest. We lay down and offer our prayers, and Christ hears us and answers our prayers. We lay down resting in his mercy, confessing our sins and receiving his grace and mercy. And we sleep in peace, knowing that he won't let our feet be moved. And as we wake up tomorrow morning, we will rise again in his mercies, which are new every morning. We will live in his mercies as long as we walk in this world. And our voice will come to his ear for eternity. For he loves to talk to his bride. He loves to answer her prayers. He wants her to be with him. And so he goes to prepare a place so that she can rest and receive his great gifts. Amen.